All right, Kurt, we'll lead you off the bat before looking in-depth here at Game 6 tonight. Big picture, you've covered the Carolina Hurricanes for a decade plus in these parts, really since the start of the move here to Greensboro back in the late 90s. So you've seen some ebbs and flows, you could say, over the years, but this recent team and this team being able to at long last snap a 10-year postseason drought, we got a sense the other nights in Games 3 and 4 just what it meant to the fan base. But having covered the team for as long as you have, how do you describe what this year was like? There's always something special when a core does it for the first time. They can get back next year. I don't know if it's going to feel the same as it did this year. What was this 18-19 season like for the team, for the fan base, for the market?
I think it was important for them to get back at some point to just playing consistently well. When you're away from the playoffs for 10 years, the one thing I worry about is you lose a half a generation of people. If you figure a generation is roughly 20 years, you don't know for sure whether people are coming back and going to be that involved. And if the same people are still on board. I mean, these might have been season ticket holders. They might have been tailgaters who are now 10 years older. But it appears that there is the same appetite for playoff hockey here, even though it had to be dormant for so long. But I think the fact that you had two wins here at home probably ratcheted that up as much as the Hurricanes front office could ever hope for.
Yeah, that was something the other night in Games 3 and 4, and Luke DeCock from the News and Observer relayed something to me, painting the picture a little bit, I found interesting. This market from September to March, you can go door to door on a specific block and sports fans' allegiances, you can say, are divided. Come April, everyone is able to unite with the Hurricanes. Problem is, there hasn't been that for 10 years.
Yeah, and you know, that's the one of the unique things, truly unique things about this market, is when you have a market that is huge into college sports, and it's not just basketball. In the fall, they really do follow college football here. It is interesting that at the end of all of that, you've got one major league sports team that everyone rallies around. And that is troubling when you've got that unique spot in the market and you're not capitalizing on it. And that's essentially what hasn't happened. But it does. It unifies this community, whether it's Raleigh, Durham, Cary, Chapel Hill, all the communities around here, they all do pull together in the springtime.
All right, so Game 6 tonight. Games 3 and 4, the Hurricanes impressed on home ice. I wonder, Kurt, how much they have left in the tank after what we saw on Saturday in Game 5. How can they get to more of what we saw in Games 3 and 4, keeping in mind the Capitals seem to have found their footing as well here?
Yeah, that, Ben, that's what I think is the big issue, is when you take a team that's already been there and they know how this is done, when they finally got to their game and won 6-0, you almost sense that something clicked, some whatever their mechanism is that pulls them together and says, we're at our game now. That gives them a decided advantage. I know the Hurricanes played well in Games 3 and 4, but it does seem to me that the Caps have a bit of an advantage right now. I know they're coming back to Carolina. That's a significant disadvantage. It has been for the home teams had the advantage here throughout the series, but they also found a way to play physically. Their skill was evident. Shift after shift, they were in on the forecheck. I don't know if Carolina can readily just summons that any time they want, especially down a few forwards. So I think it's going to be very difficult to expect in Carolina that you're going to see a performance similar to Game 3 and Game 4.
And you referenced shorthanded Hurricanes. I gave them a big stick tap and a kudos earlier this series without Svechnikov, without Furland, and then losing Martinook in Game 4. You figured the postseason newbies, they can get frazzled. They didn't. They showed themselves very well. But I wonder now as the series gets deeper, we'll see who's in the lineup for certain tonight. But you got the sense maybe the other night with a number of AHL call-ups, finally the lack of depth, it's going to catch up to you eventually.
Yeah, and Rod Brindamore actually said that. He said, you know, we're trying to do this with call-ups. And no disrespect intended to those guys, but Alexei Sorella played his first NHL game, and Patrick Brown is a guy who comes up for anywhere from 2 or 3 to 10 games a year. And they were assigned specific roles. They played on the fourth line, and they're responsible players. But at some point, I think those other three players you just mentioned who are out of the lineup, I want to say they combined for 52 goals this year. And these are kind of middle six forwards. They can play up a little bit, but they tend to be, Svechnikov especially, but he actually played on the third line for most of the season here. So you're talking about middle six at best, but that's 52 goals from guys like that is a lot of goals.
Exactly, and you take three of them. It's one thing to take one or two, but when you're talking about three of them, it's the volume starts to add up there. So final thing regarding the injuries there, Svechnikov gets the headlines, the high-end prospect. Furling can bring some physicality. Jordan Martinook is somebody who maybe the casual observer doesn't fully appreciate, but a guy who Rod Brind'Amour was tossing him verbal bouquets today, the impact that he makes, and sounds like he's missed to an extent, a little bit like TJ Oshie is for the Capitals, some of the quote-unquote intangibles that he brings.
And even I can't tell you what all those intangibles are. It's funny, when you watch a guy like that, you see he can finish his checks. He actually has pretty good hands, both for setting up and finishing. He can play well with everybody. He was tasked with bringing Svechnikov along from day one. He played with Svechnikov basically the whole year. This is a guy who is good on the bench. He's good in the room, as Rod said, in ways you don't necessarily see. When he came here, I talked to him the day he was traded here from Arizona, and he said, I'm going to score in the high teens in this league. I just have to stay healthy. Well, he did get 15 goals this year, and it made a difference on this team. The staying healthy part is critical. Now, from what Rod has indicated, it will be Martinook's decision whether he plays. It's just a matter of whether his lower body injury is something he can play through. I don't know that he could, well, he probably could hurt himself further, but it's the kind of thing that if he can deal with the physical stress of playing, I think Rod would almost like to have him in the lineup, even if it's at the expense of not being 100%, because of what he brings to the team with just intangibles and being ready and the way he talks and seeing him dressed in the room.
I'm going to leave you with this, Kurt, and it's Kurt Dusterberg from NHL.com joining us here. Looking ahead, there's a Game 6 here tonight. There's series left to be played, but looking ahead, the Hurricanes get into the postseason this year. It reminded me a little bit of what New Jersey did a year ago. They ended a playoff drought. They got into the postseason, young core, feeling good about themselves. They took a step back this year. What gives you the confidence this Hurricanes bunch, this is the start of something that can grow, and at the same time, what could be a potential red flag moving forward?
That's a great question, because this is one of those you could look at either way. Up front, Svechnikov has it in him, just looking at him, to be a very good player. I don't know if he's going to be a star or not, but certainly he's going to be a very good player. I think Rod Brind'Amour believes he'll be a star. Sebastian Aho is already approaching that level of being a star. You've got Teuvo Teravainen. That's a good start up front. If you have a core of three very good players, that's a start. With Slavin and Pesci on the back end, I think that's a tremendous start. So, and now, if they sign Peter Mrazek, now you're looking at players in every position who give you a core. And that's what every team wants, a core in this day and age, right, in the salary cap era. The flip side, that's a good point. There is a flip side. You've got guys like Justin Williams will be 38 the first week of the start of next season. Michael Ferland looked like he was a piece going forward here, and he's been in and out of the lineup, and maybe not he'll be back next year. So he's a free agent at the end of the year, right, an unrestricted free agent. So you're kind of looking at up front, maybe a couple pieces there. Nino Niederreiter came here and was very, very good. And we haven't heard much from him in the playoffs or the last few games down the stretch. So is there enough depth in scoring? Not sure. A guy like Lucas Wallmark is young. They like him, but is he a scorer? All these, the depth scoring and whether or not all these players are going to be here for another couple of years, well, that could leave a hole somewhere. That becomes an issue. Do they need more of that? Both the goaltenders here, Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney, are unrestricted free agents. Will they be back? My hunch is they will find a way to get one or both back. Can they play at the same level? Curtis McElhinney is older as well. So, yes, there is potential for a step back, particularly if they decide to go with some younger players. And you always think, well, younger players take you a step forward. Not necessarily. The first year they're integrated into a lineup, they have growing pains and a learning curve. A guy like Martin Natchez started the year here and wasn't capable, so he's back in the American League. Will he be here in that third line center role? So you could take a step back with this group, you could take a step forward, and it's kind of interesting because I wouldn't even want to guess which way it will go. I will say this, though. They do have what appears to be a good core of at least six players and maybe as many as eight or nine, so that's something they haven't had in the last 10 years.
And not to mention some backside pressure from the Montreals, the Philadelphia and the Floridas. Absolutely. Down there as well. First things first, a series left to be played here. Game six tonight. Kurt Dusterberg, NHL.com correspondent with the Carolina Hurricanes. Appreciate it, Kurt. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Ben.